what great occasion? Fall. And officially, I'm always amazed how they can get this down to the time. Yesterday, as far as Mountain Time, at 7:54 p.m., it was officially fall for the Intermountain West. So, whoopee, yippee, skippy, fall is here. And so are many, many soccer games for you, right, Jason? Amen, brother. I hope you make it to Christmas. Okay. So I'm going to read, and I love this, the picture of this tree up here. Reminds me of Bush Park, which is like the central park for where I grew up out in Salem, Oregon. And so I just love seeing that. This is my favorite time of the year is fall. But I'm going to reread 2 Corinthians in a little different verbiage, where this is what was up here was the Common English Bible. This is the New American Standard Version that I'm reading. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, Raquel and I, during this week, we're PBS nerds. At least I know I really am. But we get excited about Wednesday night because on PBS, Channel 7, KUED, is all the, it's history and it's nature and it's science and it's all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we curl up in our chairs and we're watching TV and maybe having a glass of wine to go along with that perhaps, but I don't know. But we're watching these shows. Now, we watched Wednesday night, 3 episodes in a row. We really got soaked up into watching these episodes. It's all about called The Amazing Body, The Amazing Human Body. And the one that we saw was about one of the episodes, and I don't remember the name of it. It might have been the survival one, but it's how your body survives, rebuilds after sickness and that sort of thing. And our body, they said, we have like 1 trillion cells in our body. And I go, that's a lot. And depending on how big you are, you might have a lot more. But there's a lot of cells. And the thing that struck me the most is when they talked about the skeleton being alive. Talked about growth plates, you know, especially for teenagers. Especially for these young children, Wayne and Verlaine, that you have here. And the growth that they're going through. Like last week, I just saw you and you were shorter. And all of a sudden, you're taller. Well, the thing about our skeletons is they said that we go through approximately 9 new complete skeletons during our lifetime. Every cell is reproduced. But our skeletons are the slowest growing part of the cells versus skin, blood corpuscles, other parts of our body. And I was just amazed by that what we would have thought never changes does in fact change. So right now, we as a church are in considerable amount of change. So let me bring up some thoughts for you. In the last, say, 24, 48 hours, we've had a change in weather is coming. The nights are now colder. The days are still warm, but not quite so warm. So by the end of October, does it get pretty cold? I can tell you. We can tell you about Salt Lake, but not so much up here. Does it get pretty cold up here towards the end of October? As we're moving into duck season, hunting season, all that kind of stuff, everything starts getting colder. All right. We have a change in time. Now, that's not going to happen until November 4th when we go from daylight to standard time. But there's always a change in time, and our bodies have to react to that. How many of you like this, the fall back, spring forward concept as far as sleeping? Yeah, especially on Sunday mornings, right, Janice? Yeah. But let's go into our individual lives. You have a change in circumstances. What you may have had for a job, you're now in a different job. Where you may have lived, you're now living somewhere else. When you were in pain, the pain is now gone. Or the opposite. You've gone from being well to now all of a sudden you're sick. There's always some kind of change for us. In my family, we can certainly talk about change as far as both boys now having their driver's licenses. That is a change in confidence and comfort to anxiety, to an increase in auto insurance, to the every time they're in the car, the oh my God takes over. And we do a quick prayer. And those of you that have young teenagers without licenses, your time is coming. We guarantee that. Yes, Jason, it is coming your way. He's in fear now. Okay, so circumstances in life. It can affect us in our life, our work, our expectations, our relationships. People move, people die, people are angry, all these kinds of things. So I need somebody, and I don't care who I pick, might as well volunteer, but I need somebody to grab the Bible. You might as well all grab Bibles. You're going to do this morning. Let's see. Who would like to go to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, and read that for me? Janice. See, everybody pointed at you, and that's why I picked you. They all looked your way. Ecclesiastes, it's before Matthew. Okay. Yeah, it's in 472 if you got the right, if you got the Bible. All right, Janice. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1.
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
Thank you. Appreciate that reading. It's all about change, is it not? So let me ask you two questions this morning. Yes, let's have questions. But this is a question of you think about it. I don't expect any kind of an answer back. So think about your routine when you get up in the morning, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday through Friday. Have you ever gotten up and wished things were different? Have you ever woken up and wished you were already that rich person, and you go, I don't want to work anymore. Or you wake up in the morning and you go, man, you've got problems. You wake up and right away the problems are hitting you. Challenges of the day. Or do you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what you're facing later that day? How many of you wake up in the middle of the night worrying, stressing? Yeah, there's a few. And a few of you that don't, I know better. But you might be something where you live, work. It could be neighbors next door. On our street, down in West Jordan, we've got one part of the street that's got, one yard's got six cars parked in the front yard. We got the house across the street from it. They've got five cars parked in the front yard. Those are the little kinds of things that tend to make some of us crazy. But there isn't a lot we can do to change those circumstances. So what does God say? We have to be the agent of change within ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's where it's at. Some of these circumstances we can't do anything about. So is there any good to worry about it? No. There's no point in it. The second question, have you ever gotten up in the morning and wished you could be different? Not the other thing, not from the first question of things around you or things facing you at work. Do you ever wake up in the morning going, I wish I was different? Do you stand in front of the mirror and tend to look at the saggy, baggy things? Or you go, I got another gray hair. Oh, there's another wrinkle. I didn't know it was there. Or you go, where'd that pimple come from? Where'd that blackhead come from? I need new makeup. Or guys, we're going, the chin is falling. The chin is falling. It's not that firm 15, 16, 20-year-old chin anymore. And you go, oh my gosh, I'm starting to look like my mother, or I'm starting to look like my father, or Uncle Joe, who I hated, you know, things like that. Are you at any given time desperate that you want to change yourself? You have that moment of desperation and you go, I need to change. And then do you make the resolution, like the New Year's resolution, say, I'm going to change? And do those resolutions ever work? Not one bit. I quit trying to do resolutions a whole bunch of years ago because I'm not real good on change. And I'm good for about a day and a half on a resolution. And then I just throw it out. So I go, no point in it. Do you have, when you watch TV, do you have your favorite commercials? Do you have your favorite commercials? It's, in the automotive world, it's Ram versus Ford F-150 versus Chevy whatever. Yeah. Or it's the latest medicine to keep you alive. And it'll say, this medicine will help you with your diabetes, or this medicine will help you with your heart. But you could be sick, you could get an allergy reaction from it, or you could die. And if any of these things happen, let your doctor know. You know, so there's those, they're trying to be change agents, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it only works on the physical. It only works on the outside. These change agents do not make any difference for us. How old was Adam when he died? How old was Adam when he died?
He was like 700 something.
Janice and Larry are discussing it right now. And the answer is?
I'm thinking 730 or something around there. He was old.
He what? He was 130? 930. Thank you.
I knew it was old.
Okay. Adam right now just feels shortchanged by you, Janice, because you said 730 instead of 930.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. How long did Eve live? How long did Eve live? How long did Eve live? It's a lot less than 930.
I don't remember how old she was.
Okay, hit your telephones. I mean, huh? It's about 600 years. So she died a long time before Adam did. Now, what's our average lifespan now?
80, 90.
Yeah, 80s. Yeah, late 70s for guys, mid 80s or so for the women, the average. You've always have those centenarians that live to 100, 105, 110. You got those folks that are over in Japan that live till 115. I think one just died, they were 117, something like that. Okay, so that's a long time. But here's, so we have cars. We have, here's your latest houses to live in. Here's the latest medicine to have. But it's all external change. It's all external gratification kind of stuff, but it doesn't change you on the inside. So let's look at the Word. Let's come back to the Bible. The Word plainly says that we are able to change. Do you believe that? We are able to change. Paul changed. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a guy that had no problem watching Stephen get put to death when he got stoned. He had a reputation, a very huge reputation. He was there to see that Christians were killed. He was very zealous and jealous for the Jewish faith, excuse me, for the Hebrew faith. Christianity was really abnormal for him. And then all of a sudden on the road to Damascus, he had that life-altering change. The light was on him. They heard voices, that sort of thing. And then he was blinded for 3 days until he went to Damascus and somebody prayed for him and the scales fell off his eyes. There's a lot of things that we can do on our own for change, but there's a lot of things that we really need Jesus to do. We need the Holy Spirit to make change for us. So let's talk about some things as far as change. There's a thing called dynamic change. It means that it's powerful, it's forceful, and it's sudden. Dynamic change is something of, if you've been through the born-again experience, that's dynamic change. There's what's called unconscious change, and that is referred to as children that are growing. By Wayne of Verlaine, your grandkids here, and all of us that have kids, we see that. They just grow. You don't have to tell yourself, okay, I need to grow another inch. Now your body, just over a period of time, automatically grows because that's what it's built to do. That's the genes. That's the cells. That's dynamic change. And then there's another one called metamorphic change. And that the thing that they say is like change of the butterfly. We've all seen that. We've all heard that a number of times. But that's another one of these things where the Lord comes and does something wildly personal in your life. He may speak to you in the middle of the night and say, here's my plan for you. He may come to you while you're driving. He tends to do that to me. That's how I hear things. I'll be driving, and I'll be hearing the Lord. And he'll say, here's what's going to happen. Here's some changes that are coming to you, that sort of thing. And then there's the last one. It's called conscious change. Conscious change would be things like repentance. It would be getting into a prayer life, a reading of the Bible life, reading other books that'll help you to grow. That's conscious change. Who would like to? Jenny, would you please go to Job 14, verse 14? I'll bring the mic to you. Oh, you got it? Okay, thanks, Janice.
Will you give me that verse again?
It's Job 14, verse 14. Go ahead and read it when you find it.
If someone dies, will they live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. That's verse 14.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, in this time period for Job, he's lost his sons and daughters. All 10 of them have died. He has lost all his money. He has lost his property in the sense that every living thing that he had, his cattle, his donkeys, his camels, all that sort of thing, everything's died. And this is where Satan had come to the Lord in heaven and said, what about this servant in Job? And it's all about, is Job going to curse God? Well, he never does. He never does. But verse 14 is really talking about, I will wait until my change comes. Now, this is a man who is suffering. I cannot imagine the suffering he's going through, where it says his whole body is covered in boils and sores. And he takes potsherds, in other words, cow dung, and it's dry, and that's what he uses to scrape his skin clean from all these boils that keep coming back. This man is suffering immensely. Yet here he has the presence of mind to say, I will wait for my change. Because it's all about his relationship with the Lord. He can change. So what it's really doing is engaging his will. He's making that conscious decision. I can change. Would you read that again now for us?
If someone dies, will they live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come.
Thank you. So the first part is engaging your will. Make yourself known to God. You pray, you say, I want to change. I need to change. I've got some real big problem areas. Let's do this, Lord. Remember when I first came here and I was talking to you about when you want to change, you have to be careful about using the term game on with God. Because he will, in fact, be game on, and the Holy Spirit will be there in mass to help you grow, change, repent, whatever needs to be done. Well, here it is again. He's anticipating change because he knows, I will wait until my change comes. His change is coming. He is hopeful. It's not a, I think it's going to happen. No, it is. He makes that positive statement. That statement of faith says, I will change because I know it's coming. The last thing. Be honest now, and I want hands in the air. Who in here has a problem with patience? Patience. Being patient. Get that hand up there, Jason. Yeah, we all in some manner have a problem with patience. Some more gloriously than others having a problem. But again, Job was patient. He knew eventually it would go away. And in chapters 38, 39, and 40, they're the big conclusion of where God is talking, not face to face, but he's talking to Job. He's going, can you do all these things? And Job's sin was not that he didn't have faith in God. It's this immense pride that he had. And that's really what God was after, was his pride. So I bring that to you too. When you have your patience and you go, I'm not changing fast enough. I'm not growing quick enough. God, are you here? Yeah, he's here. And he's working on you slowly. He's doing that metamorphosis on you. All right, four verses, and then we'll wrap this up. Number one, we did Ecclesiastes 3:1. Janice read that. Jeremiah 29:11. Who wants to go to that? Jill is going to 29:11. Okay. Where's the mic at? Jenny. Thank you. There you go, Jill. Jeremiah 29:11. These are promises that God gives us in his word about change and being patient and being trusting and faithful. All right, go ahead.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future.
God's plans that he has for you does not come back to him void, does not come back to him empty. So he has plans for you. No matter how old you are, he has plans. He has plans for the young children, the grandkids that are here with Wayne and Verlaine. He has plans for our kids, your kids, for you. He has plans for each of you. Okay, number three. Numbers 23:19. Here, Jill, let me have the mic there. Oh, so you volunteered Cindy to go ahead and read that. That's great. I didn't have to do it. Numbers 23, verse 19, Cindy.
Thank you. I lost it. 23 what?
23, verse 19.
God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
Perfect. So, here again, from another version, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? That goes right back to Jeremiah 29:11. What he has set in motion will happen. It will occur. It is going to take place. And last one, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And then it's verses 22 through 24. And Cindy, if you'll just hand that mic right over to Jason. Because he's got that good, deep, baritone voice. He's got he's got that Darth Vader sound.
What were the verses again?
It's Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24.
You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Thank you. All right. So in that verse, that's the promise of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to each of you. To put off your old self, which means let the old man die, the one who is not born again. Let the old man die, because that belongs to your old lifestyle, the old manner of life. It's corrupt and it's deceitful. But put on the new man is what it's asking you to do. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Because after all, we are created in God's image. We are a temple in God. Let us be that. Let us seek out change. Let us look for it. Cry out to God and say, Lord, I need to change. I need to grow up. I need to be that mature Christian you want me to be. And oh, by the way, I've got all these things to work on. Where do you want me to start? And God will make sure that you start where he wants you to do. So, game on. Go out there and see what the Lord wants you to do, because he is faithful and just to do it. And then last but not least, when everything starts to fall apart for you, my old favorite, Philippians 4:6. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. All right, Philippians 4:6. I'm going to read it from my version, but what I'd like for all of you as a group, I'd like for us to say it together. As soon as I need everybody to be there, though. What page is it for you in your? It's what? All right, page 832 in the Bible. 832, 52. Okay, is everybody there? All right. Jill, why don't you start off the church with a verse there? Now everybody join and say it. Jill, go ahead and say it.
Well, I hope I have the right one.
What if I don't? It says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. You're not on Philippians 4:6? Okay. So, if you're there, or 1826, all right, if you're there, or or if you're not there, share with somebody, read with somebody who's already there. But let's read Philippians 4:6 and 4:7. Right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let that be your prayer today. Be anxious for nothing. As we go through change, individually, families, and as a church, let us be in harmony with the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, let's have offering.